saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan, along with our teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, ta-da, my love, and shalom to all. We have been refreshing ourselves on how to properly disciple new believers with good study habits. And one way of studying the scriptures is through typology. And tonight and next week, we'll look at more typology in the Jewish betrothment and wedding and related to us, his bride. But first, let us bless our Lord.
O Lord, our God Almighty, how we long to see you face to face in your heavenly kingdom. Thank you for our salvation, the greatest gift of all. And we are so grateful for the many end-time signs leading to your certain catching up of your bride. We pray for these recent prayer requests and for the salvation of our loved one. We ask for divine protection for the Iranian people, the U.S. military, and for Israel as they continue in their battles against evil. Anoint President Trump with your godly wisdom to fulfill your will. May he do the right thing in your eyes. We ask all this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
All right. Any news, LOL?
You mean like as in the cartel chaos in Mexico or Mondami's Islamization of New York City or talk of the war in the Ukraine going nuclear? They're even preparing for martial law in the EU. The blizzards affecting 30 million on our East Coast? Or how about the Supreme Court shooting down tariffs, which Trump will now have to do a workaround, which he'll probably address tonight, which airs soon after this program. But the biggest is, of course, the question that we really don't know the answer to is what will President Trump do concerning Iran? Especially since he told the protesters that help was on the way, so keep it up, and that was a month ago.
Meanwhile, at least 30,000 more Iranians have been slaughtered.
At least that. And they have no weapons and little internet. Only a few have Starlink that the IRGC hasn't confiscated yet. Someone needs to smuggle in some weapons for them to help change the regime, which must come from within and on the ground.
Yeah, bombing won't do it alone.
I think President Trump thought he'd scare the mullahs with all our military surroundings. They'd would have to make a good deal. But instead, they are just stalling while they continue to improve on their missiles and defense systems.
Yeah, and they are.
Mm-hmm. As we pointed out before, they do not totally fear war because Shiite theology teaches that an Armageddon-type war will bring their Mahdi to save the day and set up a Muslim world. Again, there is no good deal except a complete regime change and bring in the Crown Prince Pahlavi.
And actually, any deal the mullahs sign, well, you know it's a lie.
No. Perhaps for a short time they will, and then they'll cheat like they always do.
Yeah, especially if a Democrat gets elected in 2028.
So as Trump always says, we will see. However, what we did just see is the Ayatollah officially named his successor, should anything happen to him. Also, one more thing. This time Iran has its proxies who have agreed to get involved where they did not during the 12-day war last June. You know, the proxies, especially Hezbollah, cannot afford to let Iran fall. So Trump needs to stop capitulating and moving the goalposts for Iran. Ignore Qatar and Turkey's pressure and just do it. But there is supposedly another meeting on Thursday or Friday in Geneva, Switzerland, after they examine Iran's coming proposal. And also Saudi Arabia has just now admitted that they do want a regime change in Iran also.
Well, you know, that's a good sign.
It is. But this is troubling. Netanyahu, after leaving Washington last week, said to an official, Is he still with us?
So, he does sound concerned.
Well, with that said, Marco Rubio is visiting Netanyahu on Saturday, just before the Feast of Purim on Monday and Tuesday, which, in my opinion, would be a good day to attack Iran, as it's the anniversary of another enemy destined for destruction in the same country, then called Persia, named Haman, which is a name close to Hamani.
God really likes to match dates.
And we must at least mention quickly how sad it is that Tucker Carlson, who I loved and watched on Fox Cable TV, has turned aggressively anti-Semitic, as witnessed at his interview of our ambassador to Israel, Mike Huckabee. Tucker claimed that he was detained and dragged into an interrogation room at Ben-Gurion Airport, and that Israeli security officials confiscated his passport and led his producer into a side room to question him about the content of their discussion.
All proved to be untrue.
The embassy said Tucker received the same treatment as any visitor to Israel, and we can attest to that. They are very cautious, and rightfully so. I remember they opened up my suitcase in front of me and examined it thoroughly.
Oh, and asked many security questions.
What's really troubling to me, and why we're talking about it, is that he has millions of followers who suck up his misinformation and are therefore swayed against Israel. But he did recently get caught at a lie. In fact, he had to apologize on X for insinuating that President Herzog of Israel was on Epstein's pedo island, which was not true at all the while claiming he is a Christian.
Certainly a Laodicean.
No, outer court for sure.
Okay, we welcome all your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Any love offering is always appreciated, which will place you on our newsletter mailings. You can bless us on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where our past radio and newsletters are archived for your continued learning pleasure. Okay, time to talk about the Jewish betrothment.
Yes, and I love this typology because that's where we are. The period of betrothment to our soon-coming groom, Yeshua.
Amen.
And what is very important for the listeners to realize is that you would never see this comparison without the knowledge of some basic first-century Hebrew culture and customs. It's knowing him more and but better.
You teased the listeners last week that there were three ways that the couple could be betrothed.
Yes. Number one, it could be arranged by the father, sometimes even from birth. However, the Jewish way would be that if either the bride-to-be or the groom says no, their wishes would be respected, which, by the way, is different from the other customs during that time. And Islam, especially Sharia law, still today, she must have the father's approval. And number two, the young man himself could take fancy to a certain maiden. And number three, they could use what they termed an agent.
Well, today we call that a matchmaker.
As on eHarmony. Or I have just seen that a literal person, a matchmaker, can be hired today to do that. Anyhow, back then, the maiden had to be a virgin and proved by her consummation of blood on their wedding night, as it is called, the blood covenant, or the groom could say the marriage is not legal. So, number one is an easy typology, for God our Father, from the beginning, planned for Yeshua to marry the church as his virgin bride.
Yeah, we are pure spiritual virgins.
Yes, we are. Betrothed to only Jesus and no other gods. Now, number two, Jesus betrothed himself to the church at the Passover supper just prior to shedding his blood, completing his blood covenant for us.
And number three, the agent is the Holy Spirit.
Who woos us and then teaches us all about our groom, Yeshua, by the inspiration through his holy word, who enlightens us and guides our path more toward him.
So, you know, that's the whole Trinity right there.
Yep, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have all three that participated in our betrothment.
Well, tonight, let's further examine the agent as a typology in the Word.
Okay. So, a couple weeks ago, we saw the typology of Abraham and Isaac's willing sacrifice, for he never disagreed with his father.
And Jesus went willingly as well.
So, just two chapters later, in Genesis 24, since we easily surmised that Isaac was not a young boy, we see now that Abraham decides it's time for Isaac to take a bride. So the father makes the decision to send an agent named Eliezer, his closest friend and dearest servant, as told in Genesis 15:2.
In fact, Eliezer's name means helper of God.
And would have been Abraham's heir should Isaac had not been born.
Right.
So, the agent, as the designated messenger, would have the same authority as the one who sent him. Therefore, could also be referred to as the sent one, as Jesus also referred to himself as the sent one from the Father.
In John 5.
So again, we see the Trinity working together. Anyhow, in the story of Genesis 24, we see Abraham, who is advancing in age, tells Eliezer in verse 4 to be the agent, pick a wife from his family still in the land of Ur,
which is in the area of Iraq today.
Eliezer asks, well, what if she doesn't come? Should I take Isaac with me? And Abraham says, no, he must remain here. Now that's a blatant typology. Right away, we see the picture of how Jesus also today remains with the Father in heaven.
While the Holy Spirit agent spiritually encourages the bride.
Yes. And we read in verse 8 that if she refuses Eliezer, so be it. He is released from his oath to Abraham. But we also read that if she accepts, she was to go with him right away as dawn breaks. To follow along. The picture here is we need to follow Jesus right then. Get in his word every day. Because if not, the Holy Spirit can become distant, therefore harder to hear his voice.
You know, that speaks heavy.
Reminds me of how God says in Romans 1 that refusing the Holy Spirit's calling, God can turn them over to their sin. We actually can visualize that within the Sodomite community in their mannerisms and speech.
Anyhow, we see that the maiden always has a choice.
They all did, and so do we. So Eliezer takes 10 camels, and on he went and prayed to God that when he arrived at the well where the women would draw water, that the one who would give drink to him and his camels would be the one.
So, in verse 17, we see that Eliezer actually speaks first to Rebekah.
He does. Another picture of how the Holy Spirit also speaks to our spirits, first tilling the soil of our hearts. Anyhow, Rebekah was the beautiful daughter of Abraham's nephew, Bethuel. So, please read, honey, Genesis 24, verse 18.
So Rebekah said, drink, my lord. Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave Eliezer a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking.
By the way, Rebekah had a brother named Laban. We will meet him in verse 26. And again later in chapter 29. Who ends up being the father-in-law to Jacob.
Who was Rebekah and Isaac's son.
St- Still, at this time, it was okay to marry family as they were still populating the earth. And remember, this is still in Genesis, where their DNA was in pretty good shape.
They still had good genes from Noah.
Yeah. But also, Abraham was careful due to the evil seed that permeated their neighbors in their day, which is why Abraham made Eliezer swear by oath not to take a bride from the neighboring Canaanites in verse 3.
And Sarah was Abraham's half-sister.
Yeah. Same father, different mother, according to Genesis 20. But remember, that was before the law of Moses, when then God forbids it in Leviticus 18.
And God did bless Sarah with a miracle baby.
He sure
did. At 99 years old.
Yep. But back to Eliezer, who also gives Rebekah gifts for her kindness to him, which pictures our gifts given to us, even some before we accept Christ, because he knows all things. So Eliezer asks Rebekah if there is room for him to lodge at her father's house. She says yes.
And Eliezer thanks the Lord for leading him there.
Yes, by now he knows she is the one. Upon arrival, Rebekah's brother Laban welcomes him and his camels. Let's now read Eliezer's reason to her family for even being there, starting in Genesis 24, verses 34 through 38.
I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. My master's wife Sarah has borne him with a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns. And my master made me swear an oath and said, you must not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I live, but go to my father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son.
And he continued to relay his story about being led to the well and knew she was the one to be wed to his master's son.
The family approved, for they believed he was sent by the Lord.
Then we see he gives Rebekah more gifts, as we also receive more gifts upon accepting Christ as our groom. And somewhere in there, she probably drank from the cup of wine, denoting her acceptance as well.
Like we do at communion, in remembrance of our commitment to Christ.
He also gives gifts to the family for the bride price, but also this is a picture of our families being blessed when we receive Christ, and that they are consecrated for possible salvation with wooing from the Holy Spirit, and even more so because we pray for them.
They still must personally choose.
Of course, they should. But the opportunities for them to do so are better, especially because they can sense the light around us.
So, never give up.
Amen. Anyhow, we see Eliezer stayed the night, so to leave right away, first thing in the morning.
But he hit a little snag.
He did, because the family wanted her to stay another 10 days. But Eliezer said, no way. She had to leave immediately or not at all. So Rebekah agreed to go.
That's really a good typology.
I'll say. Because we too must leave the love of the world's ways.
Not linger with one foot in the old life.
Right. Be not lukewarm, but hot and on fire for the Lord 24/7.
And we have another great picture.
We sure do. On her long journey back to meeting Isaac of over 500 miles, on a camel no less, Eliezer, now remember, he's a picture of the Holy Spirit, he's going to teach her all about Isaac on that long journey. And that's us. Once we accept to also go on that journey, and I think I call it more of an adventure. We learn all about Jesus from the enlightenment of God's agent, the Holy Spirit, through his book that he inspired and wrote down for our knowledge of how it was, how it is, and how it will be. Another typology is that it's not always a comfortable journey, as pictured by Rebecca's long camel ride. We rode a camel for 5 minutes, and it was not nice.
In other words, life can be a little bumpy.
Yes. Our journey sometimes is, but our Father is ready through the Holy Spirit, our agent, to carry us through, and then Jesus meets us at the end. So let's finish with verse 65 as Rebecca finally nears the finish of her journey.
And Rebecca asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He is my master," the servant answered. So she took her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah,
who had recently died,
and he married Rebecca.
And let me add, not till the end of the consummation would she then remove her veil.
So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death.
So we know God the Father planned for a bride for his son Jesus. And we see how the Holy Spirit works as God's agent. So next time, we will look at how a young man chooses a bride for himself and parallel that with us and Jesus. It's really remarkable to see all the details and how God organized everything so that we could learn and know how it'll be with us. So, saints of God, right now, we see through a glass or veil, dimly, but then face to face, which, by the way, is an idiomatic expression for Yom Kippur. Then all eyes will see him at his second coming on a Yom Kippur to earth. Now, that's not the rapture. That's actually the second coming. And we're going to be with him as his bride. We can read about that in Revelation 19. But then after the second coming, he will begin his new kingdom. And oh, I know everybody's waiting for that, and what a happy day that certainly will be. But before that, the rapture is coming. That could be this year, hopefully, but I know it's going to be very soon. So meanwhile, what about you? Are you longing passionately to see him? Do you even know the Lord at all? If not, repent immediately and invite him into your heart, into your innermost being. He's knocking on the door of your heart right now. Leave the world's bondage over you and turn your life over to Christ. He's your Savior. Read his love story, wrote in his blood, for you. He will give you the power needed over your enemy who wants to torment you. Christ alone paid your entire debt for your sins. Accept his receipt. It's your move. Always your choice. Don't be foolish. Time really is running out. It's going by so quickly. You've probably noticed. And we'll leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till then, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.